I don't know about you, but I can think of any number of reasons why the idea of eating flesh and drinking blood would turn people away. But let me name just one. It sounds like death. And God knows we do not need any more of that. Fear, complacency, corruption, misinformation, selfishness, violence, all of death's power is always loose in the world, but some weeks it seems to be more loose than others. And this week we saw it in desperate people clinging to the outside of airplanes in Kabul. Heard about it in full ICUs in a stage of the pandemic that could have been prevented. Witnessed its ravages and the suffering of thousands of Haitians following yet another earthquake and a storm. Our minds are not equipped to hold all of this, much less respond to it. But Jesus is so equipped. In broken, weeping, death-filled places, Jesus is there. And when he told people that his flesh would be broken like bread and his blood poured out like blood, he was binding himself to suffering, to arrest and trial, to a cross. And he promised people that when they looked there, depended on that, he would bring the full power of life. It's a strange promise that God makes in the gospel, a strange way that God chooses to be present in the world, not stopping suffering, but being present in it in ways that bring life. Real life, Jesus tells us, eternal life, which does not only mean life that goes on, but life that comes from God, comes from this, seeing him, depending on him, on his dying yet living presence with us, as if it were food itself. It's not an easy paradox. Most of the disciples went away. But Peter said, and if you have found the last week particularly unbearable, I think his words can help. Peter said, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. These words of Peter, which we just sang, these words tell us where real life comes from. We will not find it. We were never going to find it from the Pentagon or the Oval Office. We will not find it at the local school board meeting. We will not find it in the next expert who manages to upload his story onto YouTube. And it will not be proclaimed by a 24-hour news channel. If you're searching for life that comes from God, you'll find it in Jesus, who will find you. For Jesus died and went straight to the places where suffering is, and yet he lives. When we listen to him, that life comes to us too. Eternal life. Right here and right now. It's not something that will just happen after we die, although we often use the term eternal life as if that were what it meant, something that goes on and on and on, for that is what eternal can mean, as in this sermon is going on for an eternity. In the Gospel of John, eternal life does not only mean that, the life to come. It means the life that overcomes the power of death. It's what Jesus brings from heaven, and it looks different to different people in different situations. To a man who had been born blind, eternal life meant seeing. To 5,000 hungry men and women and children besides, to those people who were used to living one meal at a time, eternal life looked like endless bread and fish with 12 baskets of leftovers. To a man who'd been paralyzed for 38 years, eternal life looked like taking up his mat and walking. to a criminal on a cross, it looked like the offer of forgiveness and hope. When eternal life comes to earth, it looks like healing and eating and forgiveness. It looks like sharing suffering in order to show love that's bigger than suffering. Because the grave could not hold him, because death did not have the last word on Jesus, because Jesus is in fact alive and still speaking, eternal life still bursts on the scene, even here and even now. And when we listen to his words, words that tell us that life comes from love of neighbor, that life comes mingled in suffering, we can see it. Here's one place where I saw it recently. I was at the Butler VA Hospital for a class that was learning about everything that the VA does. One of our presenters was a man who was himself a veteran and who worked as a peer counselor for one of the VA's housing programs. This particular program works to get veterans who are experiencing homelessness and addiction into treatment and into a supportive and non-judgmental housing environment where they can then work on the issues that have kept them homeless. For the record, the way this particular program works is a shift from the way things worked in the past. In the past, people who were usually seeking help needed to get clean first, and then they could qualify for an assistance. This program flips that script, recognizing that the levels of trauma many of our veterans experience make getting clean first difficult. Ron, our presenter, had gone through the program himself. He tells a story in a wonderful documentary that's out on YouTube. After decades of drinking and sleeping on people's sofas and in tents and on steps outside, he now goes to the places where he once was in order to speak and to other veterans and develop the relationships and encourage others to seek help. As he told our class, I know where to find people, under bridges, in encampments in the forest. I'm not afraid to go there because I've already been there. And what's more, he knows what people need in order to find life. Not a word of judgment that says, hey, it's time to get your act together, but rather, you are loved and valued. Not, you've made a mess of things, but rather, there's hope. Not, get your act together and then we'll see about helping you, but come with us and see if three hots in a pot can make any difference. I don't know Ron's faith convictions. That was not the point of our class. But at least to me, he was what Jesus' eternal life looks like when it breaks into our world in the here and now. It's suffering transformed into life and suffering transformed into love and words that echo the kinds of things Jesus was always saying to people. For Jesus suffered too. And he continues to show his solidarity with people who are suffering through words that death cannot destroy. He's there in Afghanistan. He's there in Haiti. He's there in the South where the hospitals have filled. And he's there at the school board meetings that have become ground zero in our culture's civil wars. If you feel like you cannot see him, read the Gospels again. Listen to his words. Chew on them as if they were bread and wine. Hold out your hands and receive the word as it comes to you in bread and wine yet again. And here's words of grace. Love one another. Go forth. Share good news. I came into the world not to condemn the world, but so that the world might be saved. Father, forgive them. See, I am alive. Amen.